Y'all know what time it is.
Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody.
Hat on,
suit on,
looking like a dapper dog,
giving them all
on,
dress
like a million bucks,
diamond
things in his cuffs.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody out there listening to me, put your hands together for Steve Harvey.
Put your hands together.
I sure will. Good morning, everybody. You're listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. One and only Steve Harvey got a radio show. Okay. Okay, here's one for you today. This is one that's deep inside of me. So this one right here, I know this one very, very well. I want to talk to you today about success, but I want to talk to you about it like I usually do in terms of a principle of it. But I want to share something with you about it. And I was talking to my daughter about it. I've talked about my son-in-law about it, talked about it with all my children. And I'm really starting to express it to them now because, I mean, mine range from age 31 down to 16. So I'm talking to a wide range of people constantly. But I want to share something with you. And this is very, very real. And there is no way around this. If you have any aspiration of being successful, if you have any inkling that you want to change for the better and become successful in that change, I want you to realize, starting right now, the effort that is going to require. And that's why I think it stops a lot of people. I think a lot of people are never told or don't understand the sheer effort that it takes to become successful at anything in any area of your life. You know, I think people think that if they do their best they can, that that'll cut it. Well, that's not enough. Here is the light bulb. That's not enough. If you think that doing your best is enough, that I got news for you. It's not. Well, Steve, what if you've done your best, though, and your best ain't good enough? Well, let me ask you that same question. Hold on. If you want to be successful and you've done your best and best isn't good enough, what, you through? That's it? But Steve, it was my best. No. It was the best you had at that time and that particular day. But tomorrow, add something to it. You've never done everything. There is no you can't go no more. You can't add no more. I've seen marathon runners end up crawling across the line. I've seen triathlon people, man, just staggering in the street and didn't want nobody to help them because they knew that would disqualify them from the race. You got more. Have you ever dipped into your reserve tank. That's what we're talking about now. See, all of us have a reserve tank. You know, on my ranch, I like to ride four-wheelers. I have all-terrain vehicles. And all of them have a gas tank on it. And a gas tank, and most of mine, let me see all of them. Yeah, all of them have gas tank needles on them. And it lets me know when I get down towards E, there's a little lane that's red that lets me know, okay, Steve, you're in the danger zone now. You're riding into the lowest part of your tank. But if I keep riding and I forget to get some gas in there, guess what? When it runs out of gas, all of my all-terrain vehicles, all of them, Honda, Polaris, all of them, those are the makers, there's a button on the gas tank itself that I can click, and it says reserve. That means they know that for the hardcore riders, they're going to ride somewhere, and they're going to get themselves in a situation, and they're going to run out of everything. They're going to run out of road. They're going to run out of gas. They've prepared because they know for the hardcore rider, every hardcore rider needs a reserve tank. And so there's a button that you can click on the gas tank that clicks it into a reserve, and it'll give you about 50 miles or 20 miles worth of gas in there. Now, guess what? In that reserve, that may be all you need to get you to where you're going or get you back to safety so you can refuel. Don't tell me you've done your best. When your best don't cut it, what you gonna do? See, when best is possible, then good enough ain't enough. See, you can flip that any kind of way you want to. But if the best is possible, then good enough, it ain't enough, man. See, that's good enough. But if the best is possible, why would you not shoot for that? And you are all capable of making it. You are all capable of being successful if you change your mindset. But you've got to change your mindset and realize the effort that has to be put forth in becoming successful. You've got to do it relentlessly over and over and over and over. And every day I try to do something to progress my life for the better. I try to do something every day. I wake up every day with a plan, some phone calls, some meetings, some interviews, something, man, that's going to advance and move the brand forward. Because here's what's going to happen, you all. Let's say you reach your goal. Let's say your goal is to make $100,000. Well, I got news for you. Listen to this. When you make the $100,000, you can't go nowhere and go on vacation and put your hand behind your head and say, I made $100,000. Guess what you got to do? You got to find a way now to maintain that $100,000 to keep it coming in. See, you can't just get there and stop and rest and whoa. It is harder to maintain your success than it is to get successful. See, let's say, let me show you this. Suppose it takes you 5 to 8 years to find a way to make $50,000. Let's say it takes you 5 to 8 years to find a way to make an extra $50,000. And you finally, through work and effort, you get to the $50,000 mark. It's only just begun now. Because guess what? In order to keep the 50 coming in, you got to duplicate what you did to get there. And then, here's what you're going to have the audacity, being a human being, you're going to want another 50. Because you're a human being. Because you got to have something else to shoot for. Now you're going to want another 50. Well, now then guess what you got to do now? Now you got to do what you did before, plus you got to come up with something else. Then after that, you're going to have the audacity, because you're humans, you're going to want another 50. So that's how this works. And see, that's the importance of your relationship with God, because you're going to constantly need him. And ain't ever a point where you're going to be through needing him. But there ain't going to become a point in your life where you're going to want nothing unless you done just gave up. And if you done gave up, who wants that? Come on, y'all. This is going to take quite a bit of effort. And if you think it'll come to you any other way, you're sadly mistaken. Because of all the successful people I know that the effort they put out on a daily basis is daunting. And I think that the average person just doesn't understand the requirement of time and effort that it takes to get there and willingness to put it out. You got to cut a lot of monkey business out your life. All that hanging out, all that late and all that clubbing, all that drinking, all that. You got to cut a whole lot of monkey business out to be successful, man. If you're planning on being successful, get up early, stay up late, work, try, think, meet, greet, smile, attract. It takes a lot. Let's go, but you can do it. God is passing out blessings all day long. Why are you not in line for yours? I'm telling you right now, I want everything God got for me. Because what he's shown me so far, whoo, if he got some more, man, oh, man, how good is God, huh?
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, here we are. 2019 is upon us. What's happening, everybody?
Hey, Steve, happy
How fortunate do you feel to have made it to... Have you really looked at that number closely yet, 2019?
Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
You remember when it was 1968?
Oh, yeah. I was one.
1996.
I was one.
Just born.
Man, I was watching Martin Luther King's funeral on TV. In Miss Blandon's class, she bought a black and white TV and made us watch it on TV.
Wow.
So was I the only one here?
Remember 2000, that was a milestone.
You weren't here. Yeah,
what about 1974, Junior?
What happened that year?
Was you here then?
Nah.
You weren't here?
I wasn't here in 74.
No?
When were you born, in 1980?
Nah, pretty close.
I was
78. Oh. Yeah.
78.
What was you doing in 78? What y'all doing?
78.
God. Working at work, trying to figure out what had happened to my life.
Why were you such a failure?
Man, why? I just flunked out of college. Man,
shoot. Mine was worse than that. I had a Pinto repossessed, and I had to catch the bus and pass my Pinto at the loan office every day.
They don't still make Pintos, do they?
Yeah, they still
make them. We had one.
No, they don't make them. They don't make them, but they out there. There's a couple of them.
My cousin had an orange.
Jay, you remember that powder blue?
My Escort?
That boy had a powder blue Escort.
Not powder blue.
What?
I'm talking about packed.
Packed
with what?
I had everything in there.
Oh, his belongings.
TV, sewing machine. So anyway, it's 2019.
Yes, Steve.
Hope everybody's feeling awful grateful.
Definitely.
Man. I know I'm grateful, man.
Gratitude.
Another year, got some good health together and still in the land of the living.
Amen to that.
Blessed and highly favored.
Yes, sir.
Man, just feel like this the year right here.
It does, doesn't it?
Because let me tell you something, man. 2018 was a blur.
Ooh. Yeah, it went by.
It was a rough year for me.
It went by so fast.
It was a rough year for me.
Oh, yeah, it was a rough year for me.
2018.
Very much so.
I think it was rough for the country called Trump. Yeah. I was so sick of rushing home just to see what he said.
Yeah.
Build the wall. Build the wall was crazy last year.
But you know what? Over the holidays, Steve, I didn't watch any news. No, I didn't care.
You didn't.
I didn't want. No, I made myself not watch news.
I didn't watch that much.
Yeah, because
you had
I
to unplug.
Yeah, I had to because you watch it so much when we're at work. I just didn't. I made myself
tell
not watch.
Tell
it.
You
I
what
it
I did
conscious.
Watch
what?
Though.
What's that?
That damn Surviving R.
Oh,
Lord. Oh, my goodness.
Man, can we talk about that?
Talk about trending. Yes.
Because, man, I.
You didn't know.
We got to talk about
that. We didn't know.
Bruh.
We didn't know.
We had no clue.
We didn't
Bruh.
Know.
I done spoke to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been talking to him.
Wow.
Well, don't do that no more.
No. All right, listen, coming up at 32 after the hour, we're going to get caught up and we're going to talk about it, surviving R. Kelly. We'll do all that when we come back at 32 after the hour.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Happy New Year. We are back. Happy New Year. Hope you had a great Christmas holiday.
We're back.
You know what? We got to shout out our brand new affiliate, Steve. We're talking about WKXIFM 107.5 in Jackson, Mississippi.
The
okay.
Sip, baby.
Boy, we done finally sip. Got on in Kicks the Sip. They say Monica Barnes is so happy because she's been the state representative for 10 years.
The ambassador.
And the catfish champion,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I'm talking about, man, she's been bringing us all the highlights of Mississippi. You know, the catfish championship. You know, they had a cotton tournament. They had a
really steep.
Yeah, they had four blue ribbon hogs.
Did you see a cotton tournament?
Yeah. Yeah, Mississippi Monica been just bringing us all up to date. Her girlfriend Monica is singing at the Squire's tavern.
Him too?
Yeah.
And she can sing.
She can sing.
I know that.
So that's Kixie 107.5 in Jackson, Mississippi. And here's something you do know about, Steve. WROU 92.1, Dayton, Ohio.
Boy.
What you know about that, boy? What you know about that?
Home of Warren Patterson Co-op.
Who?
Warren, that's a high school.
Oh, okay.
Patterson Co-op.
Uh-huh.
But the home of my best friend.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
The greatest pledge of Omega Sci-Fi of all time.
Uh-huh.
16 weeks all alone.
That's a long time. Uh-huh.
Marvelous Marvin Horton.
Oh, that's where he's from.
Oh,
my dog.
16?
That's Marvelous Marvin Horton to the sci-fi, baby. One of the greatest cues I've ever known.
That's a lot of pledging, baby. Wow. 16
boy, that
weeks.
That boy right there.
So welcome them to the ride, Steve.
I'm going to see all them boys in April, man. We're doing the 50th year reunion of our chapter, Psi Gamma.
Oh, wow.
50-year reunion.
Mm.
Ooh.
Why you got to do all that?
Why you say all that?
What all that mean?
Anyway, so welcome Dayton and welcome Mississippi.
Yep,
appreciate
that's right.
Y'all.
Ooh, thank you, thank you,
thank
you. I
have cousins in Dayton, too.
Oh, jeez.
What's
well, Tommy,
the problem?
Next time you
oh,
perform
my...
in there, well,
yeah.
You know how many tickets you going to have.
But
damn,
Tommy.
Carla got more cousins than I've ever
And he's
seen.
My daddy people, too.
Oh, Lord.
Oh,
oh,
Lord.
Now we moved to the other side of the family.
That's the light-skinned side of the family.
I hate you.
And my girl Carla. Is there. Shirley Murdoch is in Dayton.
Oh, is she?
Oh,
oh
really?
Yeah.
Shirley Murdoch.
As we lay.
As we lay, Doc.
Oh, hell.
Your favorite song
hey, man.
Of all time.
Can we play that for them? When you
we ought to play it for Shirley because she listening. I'm going to make sure.
Hey, namesake.
Hate this.
Roger and Zapp, they're from Dayton, too.
Uh-huh. Trotwood.
Oh, yeah.
Trotwood, Alabama.
Trotwood, yeah.
Slave from down there.
Mm. Really?
Ohio Players is from down there.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Boy, you understand. Boy,
the music
come
out
music,
of Dayton.
Yeah.
Did all the music come out of Cleveland and Ohio?
Dog, Daz,
yeah,
so, the OJs, LaVert.
Yeah,
you don't understand, dog. Yeah. We is. Like, we is soul music.
We are. Flat. We is.
Flat.
Oh, yeah.
Flat.
I love the dance band, boy.
I love Slave. Yeah. Steve Arrington, yes, Steve Slave. Man. Yes, yes, yeah. Yes.
Oh,
Weak
man.
In the Knees, Slaves. All of that.
Mm-hmm. Ohio. Ohio Players, boy, one of the greatest groups of all time.
Yes,
that
sir.
That damn Sugarfoot and Diamond. Boy, I saw Sugarfoot in the airport one time.
Uh-huh.
Sugarfoot had on a green jumper from the U.S. Uh-huh. Air Force,
uh-huh.
But he had on some white platform boots.
Yes, uh-huh. Yes.
Sugar
what
had on
more
feathers.
Uh-huh.
It was 6 in the morning, because you know in L.A. you got to catch flights early.
Early. Uh-huh.
It was 6 in the morning. Sugar had a waist with just feathers hanging off of it. Sugar had about 75 chains on his neck. All yeah. of them was eagles.
You wanted that outfit, didn't you?
Sugar. That one feather in his hair.
Sugar.
Sugarfoot. Oh,
that's too many feathers, sugar. Man.
What'd he say?
Sugarfoot has never said, does this go together?
For what?
For
oh,
what?
Oh, see what's going on, man. I said, Sugarfoot, what you doing? We're trying to catch a plane. Oh. But he
talks
like that.
He
yeah.
Seems to.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, girl. Like in
man,
the song.
That was my one day child.
Uh-huh.
Oh, child, won't have to listen to your lie. On that day, I'll be able to make up my own mind. Yes, I will. Boy, that boy said, I'm going to be free.
What about the millennials, Steve, though? Do they know what they're missing if
they
don't?
They do not know.
They don't.
I've tried. I see a lot of millennials at my talk show.
Mm-hmm.
And I stop and I talk to them because I play old school music on all the commercial
programs. Oh, okay.
And they be sitting there just be grooving. I say, hey, just want to inform y'all. That you're listening to, that's called a band. Yeah, the group, they actually went in their basement and practiced. And then they came upstairs and showed it to people. And if it wasn't good, they went back down in the basement and practiced. Then they got a gig at the weekend at the tavern. And they went to the tavern and they played.
Yeah.
They are musicians.
They played.
Yeah. They took their instruments to school and everything. To school.
What's a tavern?
Tavern.
Yeah.
Yeah, for. Yeah, man.
Oh, man.
Wow.
We back, baby.
So how was y'all's break?
Oh, it was great. Very relaxing. Oh, man,
you just saw me.
Yeah.
You know, the part about staying up late, Shirley, wasn't that great?
Oh, my God. Staying up late. You didn't have to get up. Oh, my God.
Yeah, but you walk through the house while everybody's asleep.
What did I binge watch? Okay, the last thing we binge watched, you talked about earlier, that was Surviving R. Kelly. That was like the end of our vacation.
Binge watched it. I just watched it one time.
Yeah, no, I watched it a lot. But then I binge watched this show, Steve. I don't know if you've seen it. It's called Bad Blood. It's called Bad Blood on Netflix.
I saw it, but I ain't looked at it.
No. You'll like it.
Killing in it.
Oh, what?
Okay, cool.
That's all you need.
All right, listen. We're going to talk about Surviving R. Kelly, okay? Everybody's talking about it. We're going to get to that, of course, coming up. And Reverend Motown Deacon Def Jam are here, too, in the new year with Church Complaints.
Esty?
Yeah.
You didn't
know Deacon?
Well, yeah, they here.
They're probably coming up. Talking about R. Kelly.
Oh, yeah. They're coming up at 44 after the hour, right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, guys, Miss Ann will be here. She's going to have the latest on the government shutdown. Oh, boy, is that ever going to end? And
over the wall.
Yeah.
It's crazy because you know what, man? It's like the Republicans act like they're, okay, I got the campaign promise. But the first campaign promise was, we're going to build a wall, and who's going to pay for it?
Mexico.
Who's going to pay for it? Mexico.
What did Mexico say?
Man.
Then he turned around and said,
right,
hey, Chuck, I'll take full responsibility for shutting the government down.
He said
I want it to be on me. I'm shutting it down, and I'll gladly shut it. Put the shutdown on me. Now, his lying ass, and the Republicans act like it's the Democrats' fault, when they put a joint bill together that the Senate and the House approved, gave him one point something for some border security. Mm-hmm. They border said, security. Yeah, he'll sign it. Took it to the president. He ain't want that. Now he's sitting at $5.6 billion or nothing at all. Mm-hmm. The sad thing is all these people are not getting paid.
Right. All the government workers.
Here's what I wish. This is what I think they should do. We should put together some legislation. So the congressmen.
You mean us?
And senators.
Don't get paid.
Congressmen and senators should be considered government employees. So when y'all shut the government
down.
I like it.
Then let your money be messed up too. Better be a whole lot more negotiating then.
I like it.
Yeah. Let me tell you, it affected the airport though, because TSA was short of people, man. They didn't have all those people in there. So over the holiday, it was jammed up, man.
Wow.
Bad. And they're working and not getting paid now.
You working and not who do that?
Volunteering.
What'd you say, Steve?
Volunteering.
That's what a volunteer does. Working, not get paid.
Not get paid.
I promise you.
I know I'm not looking through a lot of bags if I ain't getting paid. Not at all.
All right, like I said, Miss Ann is here.
On that plane.
Miss Ann will have the latest on the government shutdown. And in entertainment news, we've been talking about it all morning. Surviving R. Kelly, the documentary. We'll get into that, and then later on we'll talk about some of the highlights from last night's Golden Globe Awards. But right now, Jackson, Mississippi, and Dayton, Ohio, our brand new affiliates. Good morning to you. It is Monday, which means it is time for Reverend Motown and Deacon Def Jam with Church Complaints.
Hello.
What is all that?
Get in there.
Gracious, most botanical. Manephilus, umpedestrous.
What that mean?
all that.
All right.
We are here in a new year to deal with the complaints of an ungrateful congregation.
Well, I wouldn't say they ungrateful, Pastor. Well,
I would. What else would you call a church that complains every Monday?
Well, that, but you know, something has happened over the weekend, Pastor.
Okay. Well, let us begin, Deacon.
All right, Pastor. Brother Reginald Bozeman, also known as Reggie B, shouted at the New Year's Eve church service. 8 dime bags fell out of his pocket. And he's asking that whoever found them to please return it. He said this is going to ruin his business and can cut into his profit. Once again, he lost dime bags and looking for somebody to return them, Pastor. It was 8
we
dime
bags. We confiscated them bags. We don't have a lost and found here at our church.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lost and gone department. We've already given those bags to the needy, shall we say.
Yeah.
And donated the proceeds to the building fund.
To the building fund, that's right.
Yeah.
Won't he do it?
What them 8 dime bags for.
All right. Now, we got an issue
won't
here.
Won't he do it?
Yes, he will.
Yes, he will.
Pastor, Brother Darren Dugas, he's a loyal Cowboy fan. He's gone too far. He went on the Facebook last night. He went on the Facebook, and he had a Cowboy church robe on, and he was singing, "Blank better have my money." I guess he bet somebody. Pastor, we cannot have anybody represent our church in this manner.
Not no Cowboy fan. Clearly, I'm from Cleveland.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, I've done Baker Mayfield and the success we had this year.
That's right. That's
for
right.
The first time ever, you'll see a gospel choir in Brown.
In Brown.
Brown Rose.
Oh, all right. You know.
Orange collars.
Okay. We didn't know nothing about them.
I know. That's a new development. Because I don't have anything to say about this man with this cowboy robe on.
All right.
Can't bring that up.
Yeah, what do I care?
Well, here's something you're going to have to work on. Sister Raydeen Lockhart, would you please talk to her and tell her to stop wearing the blindfold to church? Ever since she watched Bird Box. She been wearing this blindfold. She stayed here all week because she couldn't find her way home. You don't have to talk to her, Pastor. She is in the sanctuary now.
That's obviously quite funny, but I haven't seen Bird Box so
haven't.
Why would I? I don't watch Bird Box because it's right over there next to El Chapo. And anytime I see Drug Lord, I watch his that.
Yes.
El Chapo was way better than Bird Box, I can assure you.
Yes.
El Chapo was running some dope.
If
El Chapo came to church and was shouting and some kilo fell out of his pocket, we could build a new church.
Yes, we could. Now.
I'll even call it the El Chapo Missionary Baptist Church.
All right. Now, look at here, Pastor. We are fed up with these people. Listen, everyone needs to hear this. If the church has fed any of your children more than 3 times, we will be claiming them on our 2018 tax return. We are tired of not being able to recoup what we put out. Now, Sister Harriet Johnson, her set of twins is here every day at an after-school program, and she's arguing about us claiming the twins on our tax return. That's on you, Pap.
Wow. Well, we're claiming the kids, as Deacon said.
Mm-hmm.
We're claiming the kids, and we're claiming...
You know you idiot.
Are we claiming Sister Harriet?
I can't do what I started to do. I probably wouldn't have made the tape. Sister Carla would immediately
overrule. Well, go on and say it just for giggle, then. All right. I guess I want to tell you about R. Kelly and the Youth Choir. We'll do that later.
Okay. Coming up at the top of the hour. He did not say that. Entertainment news coming up. The surviving R. Kelly documentary. We'll get to it right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, everybody, let's welcome our new affiliates to the Steve Harvey Morning Show family. It's WKXIFM. That's Kixi 107.5 in Jackson, Mississippi.
The SIP, baby.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jackson. We're in the SIP.
And WROU. 92.1 Dayton's R&B leader in Dayton, Ohio, baby.
Dayton.
Yeah.
What's nice. Up, Dayton?
Yeah, welcome, welcome, welcome. What took you so long?
Yeah, man.
All right.
Yeah, man, that's I've been really trying to get in Jackson, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just for Monica's sake. So we can quit hearing about all the great stuff in that state that we never get to see.
Oh, right. Man, Monica would be finna be throwing parties and everything.
Hey,
it's finna happen.
Tommy, when she go back to the reunions now?
Great.
Steve, who is all about Monica,
girl,
baby? Mississippi,
girl.
Monica.
They gonna give her a school.
Wow, and a, name a street after her, a boulevard.
Name a street after her.
Yeah.
I like that.
All right.
Key to the city.
All right, now. In today's entertainment news, guys, we were all shocked when we watched the Surviving R. Kelly documentary. It's a 3-night, 6-part Lifetime Network docuseries. It told the story of several women who accused R. Kelly of child, underage, mental, physical, and sexual abuse, as well as interviews with associates, his former staff members, his brothers, and his ex-wife, Andrea Kelly. She was also a victim. Mm. These women, some of them were underage. They lived in R. Kelly's house in the studio for years, and they all talked about being forbidden to talk. They were denied movement in the house, and the horrific mental, physical, and sexual abuse. I mean, it was amazing what came out.
He denied
in this
people docu-series. Food and all of that, too?
Yeah. You had to ask him to go to the bathroom, Steve.
I watched it, and it was crazy because I watched it with my daughters in the other room, mm-hmm. my wife, some of my wife's friends. Everybody was sitting around a TV watching it. I was in my office. And I'm going to just be honest, man. I just didn't know the magnitude of it.
Yeah.
And I really feel badly. I feel bad because I wish I had understood the depth of what was going on. Not that I could have done anything about it, right. But my reaction to him would have been very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't know it to the degree.
To the extent.
I guess you got to give a person day on trial. You got to see if it's true, all this here.
Right. The benefit of the doubt.
That's how you're supposed to do it.
That's how you're supposed to do it.
But
innocent until proven guilty.
But, you know, when I saw the tape,
yeah.
I went, whoa, partner. Whoa.
Well, for a long time, dog, it was a rumor and it was humor. For a long time, it was that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and I think everybody was shocked, Steve, not just you. I mean, we found out things that we had no idea was going on. None whatsoever.
The depth of it, man.
Yeah. I felt bad because...
It's shocking and appalling.
Yeah, it was shocking. Because being at the time, or earlier, being from Chicago, being an R. Kelly fan, I mean, we loved his music,
right.
You know, mm-hmm. And it was hard to separate... I guess, you know, he's an artist and his art. So, you know, you hear these rumors and people are like, well, that's okay. I still like his music. You know, he's still Chocolate Factory. Yeah, and all of that. But then to see this Surviving R. Kelly docuseries, I'm done.
Yeah, I wasn't with it at all.
Oh, I'm done.
It's a whole new level.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about it some more. But right now, let's get to headline news, ladies and gentlemen. The one and only Happy New Year, Miss Ann Tripp.
Thank you very much, and Happy New Year's to you all, everybody out there. Good morning. This is Ann Tripp with the news. In Texas, two suspects are under arrest for the fatal shooting of that child we were talking about, 7-year-old little black girl named Jasmine Barnes. Jasmine was shot while riding in a car with her mother and her siblings to the store in what initially seemed like a racist drive-by. Harris County Sheriff Ed Gonzalez says the first suspect, 20-year-old Eric Black, faces capital murder charges.
Mr. Black has acknowledged his role in Jasmine's murder. We've also received information that this involves a second individual as well. We are still trying to verify some information, and this investigation is ongoing.
Sheriff Gonzalez does say that since both suspects are African-American, that race does not appear to have been the motive, and that little Jasmine's family were not the intended targets. A second suspect is also in custody, a search still on. Well, not really a search, but they're hoping that the white man who was seen in a red pickup truck does come forward. They say he was just probably a bystander. Today is day 17 of the partial government shutdown. President Trump says talks will continue this week between Democrats and the GOP to hopefully craft an agreement to end it. Right now, talks are at an impasse over Trump's insistence on getting $5 billion for his border wall, as the Democrats say they're only willing to green light at $1.3 billion for increased border security. They say people can tunnel under a border wall. Meanwhile, President Trump insists that people are with him.
Many of those people that won't be receiving a paycheck, many of those people agree 100% with what I'm doing.
Some of the people furloughed say they don't know who he's talking to. Nevertheless, more than 800,000 federal employees have either been furloughed or they're working without pay, deferred pay, basically. Trump says a shutdown would go on and can go on for months, he says. By the way, the partial government shutdown could soon affect millions of Americans who rely on food stamps to feed their families. The food stamp program is run by the Department of Agriculture, and that's one of the agencies that remains unfunded because of the shutdown. Meanwhile, the Trump administration's list of defections continues to grow. This time it's the chief of staff for the Department of Defense, Rear Admiral Kevin Sweeney. He's leaving. The trial of those charged with the brutal murder of Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi has begun. Saudi Arabia's attorney general reportedly seeking the death penalty for 5 of the 11 people charged in connection with the crime. The high-profile trial opened last week in the Saudi capital. The names of the accused have not been officially released. Finally, the movie The Green Book won Best Comedy, Best Supporting Actress Regina King, Best Film Bohemian Rhapsody, Not a Star is Born. Best Actress went to Glenn Close, not Lady Gaga, at last night's Golden Globes. Meanwhile, Aquaman continues to swim above the competition, bringing another $30 million over the weekend. Total over the weekend worldwide for Aquaman, $940 million. Not my next paycheck. Now back to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Steve, we're still talking about surviving R. Kelly, the docuseries. So how did R. Kelly manage to escape repercussions for his actions? Clinical psychologists said in the documentary that society's indifference towards suffering, toward the suffering of black and brown girls and women. People don't care about black girls. That was the conclusion they had drawn.
One thing for sure, if R. Kelly had done this to some white girls, don't you know?
Oh, he'd be under.
Dog.
10 years ago.
Yeah.
Bruh.
10 years ago. Yeah.
Any inkling of it, yes, which sir. Is the part that's embarrassing to me as a black man, and it ticks me off because you can't do this to these many people. The people's lives that this dude has affected negatively.
Yeah. Years of therapy.
Parents who haven't seen their daughters in 3 years because of this camp he cult. Had at this cult house.
Yeah.
That right there, that's crazy.
It is. Yeah, that's cult. It is. Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. Bruh, at least you could do is say, hey, man, y'all, hey, we having a little thing at the house. Go on, see your mama. Mm-hmm. Something. You ain't even, dog, you ain't even trying to fix that, and you going with they consenting adults. No, dog, you've used a pimp.
They didn't start out that way.
No.
Yeah.
R. Kelly has taken the pimp mentality. Mm-hmm. And use the exact mindset that pimps use to prostitute out women, except he prostituted them out for himself.
Yeah. Mm. And that's why he wanted to separate them, Steve, from their parents.
That's
because
right.
But what parent does that, though?
But that's why he wanted to do that. These young girls wanted to be stars. They had dreams, to meet someone, an artist of R. Kelly's magnitude, for him to help their career. Oh, my God.
I think the sickest part is that while he was making all this good music, he was doing evil on the yeah. other end of his life. You yeah. know what I'm saying?
Yeah. 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 Like, and we didn't
and
know.
And we as society.
We nobody knew.
We,
right?
we didn't no. know. No, you we know, no, we knew no his idea. Music and was like, he's a musical genius with these
yeah.
hits.
Yeah.
And songs that he's putting out. So we just. Yeah.
I bet you if you got
yeah,
my baby
I
girl.
I believe I can fly changed a lot of people's attitude toward him.
Because it was a like, positive
greatness.
Song. That's
it's
right,
such
Jay.
A good song, right.
It was inspirational.
They were that's singing right. it in church, Jay. Right. Black churches, yeah. white churches. Everybody
hell,
was singing, I Believe
did,
I Can Fly.
Hell, when he did, he saved me.
Yeah. 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 yeah.
When I first heard it, so we was on the radio in L.A. When I first heard he saved me, I started crying.
Yeah.
That song was so good. He saved right. me.
He, the guy is a musical genius.
You can't
There's
deny
no denying that.
That.
No. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But you're just as much pervert
but
as
you are genius.
Evil genius. He's an bro, evil, evil
man,
genius.
This dude right here. Yeah, well, let's go to break.
Coming,
we'll be back. Yeah. Talk some more about this. Coming up some more of this here.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, so here we are still discussing this Surviving R. Kelly docuseries that was on Lifetime over three nights, six-part series. The
I
conclusion.
I couldn't get past night one.
It's three. Wow. I missed something. Three
oh, yeah,
nights.
It was, yeah, it was over. It was each, Thursday, yeah. Friday, Saturday. Two parts each night.
It's six episodes.
Yeah, and it originally aired.
Yeah.
It's six of them.
I must ain't seen all six.
No, you maybe missed
the first two on Thursday night. Yeah.
I've been so mad, though, man. I can't.
Everybody, the whole country.
Because, you know, man.
It's terrible.
And then he came out with this song, I Admit It.
Oh, yes, yeah. 2018,
the 19
last
minute,
year.
Yeah, the 19-minute yeah. song.
And I listened to it because
yeah.
I'm in it, mm-hmm. a couple other people. And, you know, at the time, you know, this wasn't out yet.
Right, no.
So I'm just seeing this I Admit It song. Then when I heard his wife talking about it on the thing, you know, I went back and pulled it up. You know, you spent 19 minutes saying I admit it. You didn't admit to anything. But if you'd have spent 19 minutes saying, I'm sorry, it would have went a lot further with me. But like right now, man, this guy, I was really, John Legend, really, man.
Oh, he
He's
was
a
good.
Hero.
He was really, really good.
Yeah, he was really good.
I could not have been.
He was the only musician that spoke, Steve.
And
the male musician that spoke.
Yeah,
at the
I'm glad they didn't. I'm That's glad right. I wasn't interviewed because I don't know how to be that poised about it because it was so, I was so mad watching the entire thing because child after child
14
after
years
child
old, man.
After child
yeah
this was
yeah.
happening I'm 16 what that got to do with it
yeah even after he came out of court Steve young women he was still looking at young women when he came out of court from being on trial for being with young women he's still looking
he
at them when he comes out of court
he, yeah. it's just,
there's something wrong there.
Now, you know, let's do this here. Now, let me just say this.
Okay.
Now, the part that it was so misunderstanding from them children.
Mm-hmm.
The two 30-year-old women, I learned a lot about abuse and how it works, the mental abuse. Because I know how men can be sometimes, but I don't know nobody like that.
Oh, you mean like R. Kelly?
Oh, no, sir.
No.
I don't know anyone.
No.
Oh, no, sir.
I don't know.
Oh, no, sir.
He's a monster.
No, I've never met him before.
Mm-mm.
Because there's no way I could know you and allow you to exist.
Oh, and be in your circle.
And I know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like right. It's like one time at the mentoring camp, this little boy said, hey, Mr. Harvey, you know my father.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, no, I take care of little boys whose father's not in their life. You and my father, friends. Hold up, dog.
Then why are you here?
Whoa.
Why are you here?
You ain't supposed to be here.
Your father can't be my friend.
Right.
And he doesn't take care of his kids.
Right.
You can't be my friend because I can't know this. That little boy pulled the pitch out and I knew his daddy.
Oh.
And was friends with his daddy.
So he was right. The little boy
was
right.
Oh, that little boy was right. I got on my phone. I had his daddy number. Boom had his number in his phone. I said, Boom, call him. I called him up and said, yo, man, what's happening? Steve, what's happening? I said, hey, man, where you at right now? Oh, I'm down at the shop. I said, cool. I said, I got your son.
Mm, right. Yeah.
He said, what you mean you got my son? I said, he in my mentoring camp. Oh, that's cool. No, dog.
No, the heck it isn't.
No, dog, this ain't cool.
Yeah.
Why I got your son? Mm-hmm. Why your son ain't got no relationship with you? Well, you know, his mama tripping. Hold up, partner. Mm. this is for boys that's from single parent homes, ain't got no relationship. Hey, man, you
single mothers. Mm-hmm.
And he lived in Dallas. I had him come to the camp that
that's
day.
That's good.
Okay.
That's good.
Pick your son up. Mm-hmm.
Pick your son up. You finna do the camp with your boy. Mm-hmm. I'm not finna take care. So I don't know people like that. So I don't know no R. Kelly. And R. Kelly, man, for this, like, you know, talking about, like, in his song, I admit it, I don't know why brothers would try to bring another brother down. Dog, this is your sugar honey iced tea.
Yeah.
I don't know no parents ain't went in there and got their kids.
I got wellness check for your ass.
We gotta go, guys. And we're gonna switch gears after this.
Nobody gonna be well when I get in there.
Prank phone call with the nephew coming up. We'll switch gears right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after, it's today's Strawberry Letter. Here's the subject for today. My wife is living like she's single.
Uh-oh. Right. Wow. Living my best life.
Going back and forth with you. Right now, the nephew is here, though. Yeah. With today's prank phone call. What you got for us now?
Brand spanking new. This one is called Triple Casket.
New for the 19.
You know, if three people pass and they kin, you know, the family might not have enough money for all them casks. Just one casket. Triple casket. Three people, one casket.
No. We finna see how this finna go. No, this go crazy. The concept.
Okay, this could work.
Save some money.
Take a listen. Here it is.
Jenkins Mortuary. This is Calvin. How may I help you?
Hey, how you doing? Hey, Calvin, how you doing? My name is Brandon, man. Brandon Giles. I'm calling. We've got somebody that has passed. Actually, three people.
Well, I'm sorry. Passed away.
I thank you for that, man. It was kind of expected. So, you know, it wasn't something that caught us off guard. But, you know, but all in all, you know, we're still grieving about losing our loved ones. But I wanted to give you all a call. We're trying to pick a particular funeral home on who we want to take care
handle
of everything.
The services.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. We can definitely help you with that. And, once again, I just want to, you know, just let you know that we can pretty much do the whole gambit. We can make sure that your needs are taken from, you know, from now on. We're here for you. Just wanted to get that out. What is your main need? You said three people, sir?
Yes. I wanted to bring attention to you. Do you guys customize caskets?
Yes, we do gold plating, engraving. We even have a new thing where we can put the picture of the person on the outside, like a semi-gloss coating. Okay. We have a couple options.
I don't need that or no gold or nothing like that. Listen, what I want to do, is there any way that you could maybe customize a casket that can accommodate three people?
Yes, like we can customize each individual casket for each individual family member.
No, Calvin, that ain't what I'm asking. What I'm saying is, if I want to like I said, these my cousins, they was all close. You know, I don't have a problem with all three of them being in the same casket.
I get you. To my knowledge, as far as I've been in this business, I've never. I'm not really sure we can actually do that.
But what's the problem? If we can get them all in there and close the lid.
I think that's a. I don't even think, for one, it's legal in this state or any state. Three people in one casket. And ethics wise, that's not really something that. How can I say? That we actually, you know.
If you customizing a casket, Calvin, then you ought to be able to put as many people in there. If you make it deep enough and wide enough, ought to be able to get three people in there, right?
Well, the customization is the outer side of the casket. And maybe, you know, some people even put TV screens on the inside or some of their loved ones' memorable mementos. We customize it for that, you know, color wise, size.
So what about when it's a person real big, you know, a heavy set person, You know, you got to have a casket that can accommodate them, right?
Yes, but it,
okay. So,
again,
so you ought to be able to put three people in one casket if they can fit. You put two one way and one the other way, sir, then you ought to be able to have all three of them in there at one time.
Is there anybody else around you and your family that can help talk with me about this?
I'm talking to you right now. I'm trying to accommodate my cousins and get them straight. Yeah. And I'm asking you, can we get them in a casket that can accommodate three people? If you put two pillows on
that's not something we're really
that ain't something your is used to doing, Calvin. But I'm calling you, telling
that
you
too.
That's the way I want this customized, man.
All right, brother. Look, brother. Just chill out with cousins, all right?
So we're trying to get three people.
Sir.
What? Yes.
I have a standard plan. It'd be a low-end standard plan for three individual caskets. That's all I can
We ain't got. We don't have enough money for three individual caskets. I keep telling you that. We got room for one casket. We just need the big enough, man, so you could get everybody in there and close the door.
I don't want to go back and forth with you, sir. I know this is a time of.
Then go. You ain't got to go back and forth with me. Build the that I need so I can bury my family.
I don't really know what to tell you, sir, but I'm just really trying to help.
Won't you tell me you're going to get three people in the casket looking good?
We can't do that. We cannot do that.
Who the f*** you hollering at, man?
Sir,
I'm the one going through bereavement.
I understand that, but you're using foul language. It's just, we can't do it, brother. You hear me?
Hold on.
My cousin
said they wanted to use
the right to refuse. No, sir. No. We can't do
okay,
it.
Okay, look. Hey, man, y'all going to bury these three people, and you going to put all three of them in the same damn casket, man. Two on one way, on one end and one on the other one, man.
Sir, if you're drinking, just stop.
Ain't nobody drinking. Let me tell you something, man. Let me say this to you.
Yes,
your name
sir.
Calvin, right?
Yes, it is, sir.
Okay,
Calvin,
so Calvin, let me say this to you. Either y'all going to bury my cousins the way I want it, or Calvin, you going to get your that's what's going to happen.
Now, that's it right there, sir. I've been trying to be as professional as I can. This whole conversation is as crazy as it is. But now,
ain't nothing crazy about it.
No.
I want you to bury my cousins.
Come on down here. I got some places to put your body and your cousin's body. How about that, huh?
Oh, you talking about doing something to me now?
Yeah, because you obviously.
You don't sound too confident, Calvin.
I'm going to tell you right now. Now, this ain't the place, and I'm not the one. You will be in the ground messing with us. Matter of fact, if you come here, I'm going to f*** you up. How about that?
Okay, Calvin. Let me tell you something, Calvin. Me and Tommy going to be down there today then. I'm bringing Tommy with me.
Who the f*** is Tommy, huh?
This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show, baby. You just got pranked, Calvin.
This is some b***. Yo. Y'all had me ready to whip somebody. I'm gonna tell y'all, I just want to know who put you up to this.
Reginald that works
Reggie.
At the, yes.
I'm a whip Reggie. You better watch what you drink. You better watch what you eat. I'm on your for revenge, Reg.
Hey, Calvin, give me this, man. What's the baddest, and I mean the baddest, radio show in the land?
Man, you know it's nothing but the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Y'all got me, man.
Y'all ain't with me?
Boy.
I'm just saying, like, two bodies this way, one body this way.
Head to foot.
Three different pillows. We work that thing.
I hate
How
you.
How many palms are you going to have? You got three bodies in the casket.
Yeah.
Well, you're probably going to need 10, Jay. You're probably going to need five on each side.
A roller or something.
Yeah. But you save some money, Jay.
A dolly.
It's like casket bunk.
A dolly.
Like casket bunk bed
for three people. Yeah.
All right.
I got a better idea.
Go ahead. Let me hear it.
Why don't you just put them in there and fold them?
All right, stupid is on the loose, baby. Tampa, Florida. I'm coming to the Improv. That is January 24th, 25th, and 26th. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That is the first stop of the year from the Nephew. January 24th, 25th, 26th. I'm at the Improv, baby. Tampa.
You're gonna kill him down there, huh, Tommy?
Thank you, Neff. Up next is my strawberry letter for today. Subject, my wife is living like she's single.
I'm living my best life.
And going back and forth with you.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, guys, let's welcome our new affiliates to the Steve Harvey Morning Show family. I'm talking WKXIFM, Kixie, 107.5, and where, Monica Barnes? Jackson, Mississippi, baby. And then we got WROU 92.1, Dayton's R&B leader in Dayton, Ohio,
home
Steve
of
Harvey.
Marvelous Marvin Horton, the late great Wayne Knowles, Ida Washington Knowles.
Wow.
Daryl Bennett, Bennett's Barbershop. What up, Bennett? What up with you, boy? Steve Harvey, I ain't forgot about you.
All right, Steve, it's time now for the strawberry letter today. The subject is my wife is living like she's single. And listen, if you need some advice on relationships, if you need some advice on dating, on work, on sex, on parenting and more, please submit your strawberry letter to steveharveyfm.com and click submit strawberry letter.
All
just
right.
That simple. All we could right. be reading your letter live on the air just like we're reading this
Dayton
one.
In Mississippi. Buckle up and hold on tight. We got it for you. Here it is, the strawberry letter.
Yeah, this is a letter where you, our audience, write us, and we give you advice.
We can't make this up.
No. People think we do, though, because they're so crazy, but no. Here we go. Subject, my wife is living like she's single. Dear Stephen Shirley, I have been married to my childhood sweetheart for 8 years. And we have two wonderful children. Early on, we had problems in our marriage and we separated for a short period. But we worked things out and I thought we were back on track. My wife admitted that during our separation, she had flings with two other guys. She compared me to the guys she had the flings with and bragged about the money and the nice things they had. I'm an educated guy, and I have a great full-time job and a part-time job for extra money. But it's not enough for my wife. She told me that I need to be making 6 figures to keep her happy. She has a demanding full-time job, so she doesn't do much around the house. I cook, I clean, I take the kids to and from school, wash the clothes, help the kids with homework, and maintain the lawn. She neglects my sexual needs, too, because she goes out most days after work to unwind, and when she comes home, she says she's exhausted. A few days after Christmas, she told me that I need to find a nice woman that will appreciate me and the little bit I have to offer because she needs more. She told me that after I found her texting one of her old flings. I asked her to see the text, and she showed it to me. The guy was asking her for sex again, and he said that their chemistry is unmatched. I am trying to stick out for my kids, but I cannot be her doormat in the process. She doesn't respect me as the man of the house, and I am not sure how we got to this point, but she is very disrespectful. Do you think I should try to stay for the sake of my kids or make her wishes come true and leave?
Who wrote this letter?
The husband. The husband. It seems like a letter that a wife would write, but no, this time the husband wrote this one. And, you know, doesn't the grass always look greener on the other side? I mean, she's, you know, thinking that these guys who were taking her out when she was on a break from you, you know, spending money and nice things and all that. Yeah, but she came back home. She's not with him. So the grass always looks greener on the other side. I have to ask you, though, what do you want to do? I mean, you're asking us, should you stay for the sake of your kids? I'm sure you don't want to stay with a wife who continues to disrespect you like your wife does. I mean, kids or no kids, you don't have to take this, man. You don't have to take. You do know that, right? I mean, where's your dignity? Where's your self-respect? Getting your kids and leaving her will probably be the best thing you can do to save yourself and your two children, okay, from this mama right now. She's just out of order. I mean, you said she's disrespectful. She's all of that. You sound like a good man, a hardworking man, and all of that. You know, you're cooking, cleaning, and doing all this stuff and taking the kids to school, working two jobs. You shouldn't be a doormat for her, so you're right about that. She definitely is disrespecting you, and I think you should take her advice. I really do. I think you there is a nice woman who'll appreciate you. There are plenty of them, as a matter of fact, who'll take you and the kids. So get on out of there, okay? You don't have to take this. Steve?
Wow.
This is crazy,
it's
right?
Crazy.
Yes, it is.
My wife living like she's saying.
She is.
Just right there. Mm-hmm. Who wrote this letter?
He did.
My wife admitted during our separation she had a fling with two other guys. She just been out there just clowning. Not no affair.
She's been doing what?
Clowning. Clowning.
Yeah.
Just out here just showing her natural two flings. Mm. That wasn't enough. She gonna compare the guys that she had the flings with, bragged about the money and the nice things they had. She gonna come back home and tell me about it.
Yeah.
Well, you might well stay your ass out there.
Okay.
Cause this some information you ain't finna bring. You're not finna come back, Steve Harvey, tell me this here. I don't know who you think I am. But who you talking to? Then let's go on. I am an educated guy and have a full-time job. And a part-time job for extra money, but it's not enough for my wife. Somebody told me something one time.
Right.
I just want to share it with you. A very, very wealthy person. He said, if you got one job and it ain't cutting it for you, why would you go get another one of them? Mm. He said, if you got a job that ain't cutting for you, your next move is you're going to have to open some type of little hustle on the side or business. But he said, always taught me, he said, don't go get another job.
Okay.
He said, because you got one job ain't working for you. Well, why would you get another one of them?
Right.
So that was a very educational thing I learned. She told me that he need to be making six figures to keep her happy. Now, you got two jobs that ain't making six figures.
Right.
So you just working all the day and you still ain't making six figures. But this heifer right here done told you that's what you need to do to make her happy. You get on back out there and get the flinging again. See, that's what you probably need to do. Now, she has a demanding full-time job, so she don't do much around the house. Now, I want y'all to listen to this right here. He working two jobs already.
Right.
She got a demanding full-time job. Mm. But he say, I cook, clean, take the kids to and from school, wash clothes, help the kids with homework, and maintain the lawn. I already got two jobs. I just told this helper. I got a full-time job and a part-time job. Well, I ain't got time for this help.
All right, hang on, Steve. Hang on. We're going to have part two of your response coming up at 23 after the hour. Subject, my wife is living like she's single. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, come on, Steve. Let's recap today's strawberry letter, part two of your response to.
In essence, this woman don't want this man.
My life is.
She when they separated, she had a fling, and now she comparing the guys to her. He do everything. He do all the work, and he got two jobs. She neglects my sexual needs. Because she goes out most days after work to unwind, and when she come home, she exhausted. Well, let me ask you a question.
What do you think that is?
Come on. Yeah. Come on.
When she out there unwind after a hard day's work, and when she come home, she's exhausted.
Yeah.
What you think she exhausted from? Unwinding? Unwinding ain't exhausting. It's when you getting wound up that's exhausted. Yeah. It's when you get, see, men, see somebody winding her up real tight and then sending her ass off. That's what it's like.
One more time.
Getting tight.
The winding.
It's getting tight.
That's the winding.
Yeah. Now, she do that three times a night. Boy, she coming in this house tired as hell. Then a few days after Christmas, she told me I need to find a nice woman that'll appreciate me and the little bit that I had off.
Wow.
Well, you know, she just told you, you need to go find you somebody post. And doggone it, you can do that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, because she need more. She told me, I found her text in one of her old friends. I asked her to see the text. She showed it to me. First of all, you're not finna be that comfortable in my house where I asked you to see the text
right.
and you just go, here.
Yeah.
Here, show it to me.
Yeah. No,
you're gonna have seen me somewhere in my life go off on somebody where you would pause and go, you know what? Showing him this text right now probably ain't gonna be the best thing.
Because
he has an ignorant side to it, and I don't wanna see it. But no, see, you ain't never demonstrated that. Let me see what you texting. Here.
Yeah.
Oh, you comfortable with him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The guy was asking her for sex again, and he said that their chemistry is unmatched. I'm trying to stick it out for my kid. What? Mm. Wait a minute, hold on. Did I read that wrong? Mm.
Nah, you read that right.
The guy was asking her for sex again, and he said that their chemistry is unmatched. I'm trying to stick it out for my kids. Wait, I must have missed it.
One more time.
The guy was asking her for sex again.
Uh-huh.
And he said that their chemistry is unmatched.
Saladus.
I'm trying to stick it out for my kid. What the hell is missing?
It's a line missing.
Damn.
It's a paragraph missing.
Who asked did you start whooping?
Wait, what, Steve?
Somebody, who asked did you start whooping before you said, I'm trying to stick it out for the kids? But I cannot be her doormat in the process. She don't respect me as the man of the house. Aww. The man of the house. Dog, you ain't been the man of the house since she went out there and had them two flings. I'm not sure how we got to this point.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part. Mm-hmm. See, that's why you typed the letter.
Mm-hmm.
You're not sure how you got to this point. I'm crystal clear how you got here. Y'all was going wrong in your lives. Your childhood sweetheart. Y'all got married, hadn't experienced no life. Then y'all had some problems in the relationship. She went out there and had a taste of life. And the taste she had wasn't the taste you've been giving her. See, what you had been laying down, she thought was cool. Then she went out there and ran up into Rowdy Rodney Piper. She ran
the
up into... Yeah, she
What's
ran
his name,
into,
though?
Rowdy Rodney Piper. Then she ran up into Big...
Rowdy Rod.
Big, Dusty Rose. Then she ran up into the Junkyard Dog.
J-Y-D, baby.
Then she ran up into Ernie Ladd, Bobo Brazil, and ran up into the Sheik, and ran up into some people that was tossing her. And she been all Andre up in the air and getting flipped. Andre the Giant ran up in there and Randy Savage.
Macho Man.
You got some
Flair. Some
gorgeous jeans. He ran up there and ran up into some Ric Flair. Whoa! And got turned O-U-T out.
Yes.
Now she come back home. And she in here with little Tiny Tim. little Kermit the Frog. She been in here playing Sesame Street. She done been out there in them streets and ran up into the WWF. She done been in bed with the Undertaker. Been all out there and had a date with Triple X. Been all over the place getting thrown from corner to corner.
Uh-huh.
Tossed into the ropes. Flying off on the turnbuckle. Then all of a sudden, Dwayne Johnson, a.k.a. The Rock, got his hands on it. Souffle-er. Put her in a headlock. Put her in a souffle. And all of a sudden, overhead, fireman's carryover. Boom. She was on the ground. Now, she back at the house.
Mm. Yeah.
You ain't picking her up, throwing across the ring.
Yeah.
You ain't jumping off the top rope.
Yeah. Mm.
You ain't used none of the tricks. Nah, she don't want you no more. That's how you got to this point. What you need to do is do like she said. Find you somebody that appreciate the little bit you got. That little bit of money you making. That little bit of loving you passing. That little teaspoon of thing you been just shoveling around like
right.
you been dropping, bringing hammer work. That ain't hammer work. That's number two leaded pencil work you've been doing.
How?
You ain't been doing what you thought you was doing. She went out there and ran up into Randy Savage. That's right, G. That's right, G. Don't come in. I'll come to bring the heat, baby. So, bruh, appreciate you writing your letter. But 2019 is over.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's over. In 2019.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's over. Yeah, just go on right. in there. Tell the kids. They already, the kids know.
Yeah. All right, we got to get out of here, guys. Email us or Instagram us your thoughts on today's Strawberry Letter at Steve Harvey FM. And now, coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll talk more about Surviving R. Kelly, the documentary, right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, guys, we're still talking about this Surviving R. Kelly video. I mean, the docuseries. It was over a three-night period last week, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Two episodes per night, six altogether. And it was just unbelievable. Steve, you mentioned earlier that John Legend was there. He was the only male that really spoke out against R. Kelly, musician, on the documentary. Mm-hmm. I think Chance the Rapper said something like he was he regretted having R. Kelly doing a song
doing
with
a song
R. Kelly.
With...
Yeah, too. Yeah,
I mean, you know, because and I gave Chance a break on it because no one really knew the magnitude of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
nobody's blaming Chance the Rapper.
No,
right.
man, not at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, but man.
And he apologized.
I didn't know, man. I mean, it's so crazy, man. But my wife was telling me, Steve, what could you have done? I just said, man, I just wish I had known something. Because I don't know what I would have done. But I feel badly because, you know, we didn't make a bigger stink about it.
Yeah.
But it's hard to make a big stink if you don't know the extent of it. And like when you don't get cooperation from the parents and the victim, which would have sent him to prison in the first case of child pornography.
That's what I
because
had
that girl was 14, yeah. But the parents and the child wouldn't come forth because they were paid.
Yeah, and they denied that it was the child, their daughter
in
the video.
They were paid.
Yeah, and there were payoffs involved.
Ain't that
you're
pimping
right.
your daughter out in a certain, basically?
Absolutely.
That's exactly what that is.
Come on, man.
There are some parents in this that I felt
were accountable,
had a share of blame for this.
For letting their daughter be in that situation in the first place, you're saying?
Now, everybody heard the rumors.
Yeah, they were everywhere. There were the rumors.
You
when
drop
first
your baby off.
Yeah. You mean when the tape first came out and all that?
Who do that?
About him urinating, as we later learned.
First of all, I don't know. You know, things happen too quickly. But listen to this. You at the concert with your daughter. Mm-hmm. R. Kelly pull up on stage. Mine ain't going up there. Get somebody.
We ain't at the show.
Yeah.
No.
It's so much, man, from the parental standpoint. But I'm going to just be honest with you, man. I really felt for the parents who can't get to their, even their adult children. Who,
yeah.
You know, look, man. Look, we all parents in this room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My youngest is 21.
We all have daughters.
How old is Sheridan?
Sheridan's 22.
Okay, cool. If you don't see your daughter for 2-3 years, come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
Dog, you hurting. I mean, man,
as
dog,
a mother,
dog,
oh,
you,
come on.
You're
as a
hurting
parent?
In the pain. I got, she's an adult. Mm-hmm. I got, it's of consensual mm-hmm. age right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't talk to you.
And you know, there's a thing that parents say, I just wanted to put my eyes on you. You know, everyone.
Your mom always said that.
Their parents say that.
Right.
You know, and
just want to hear your voice.
Yeah, I just want to hear your voice. I just want to put my eyes on you. Yeah, let me look at you. You know, I haven't seen you in a while.
That's every parent.
Every parent.
I understand the heartache that these parents are going through, who can't even reach or be contacting their adult children because of the brainwashing that this dude has put on these. Because he's used a pimp mentality. On these women and these girls.
Control,
even the 30-year-old girls that got involved. Once you go in there thinking one thing and the brainwashing begins and that's an abusive.
Right.
He's
a predator.
Right.
He's a predator.
An expert at shaping and Once you get them to thinking less of themselves and more of you, that's the beginning of the pimp game.
Yeah, and you're right. First, they were saying he was so nice to them and everything, and then they had to learn the rules.
Away, right.
Then they had to learn the rules, and the rules were they had to call him daddy, and you had to ask for permission. If you wanted to go to the bathroom, you had to ask R. Kelly for permission to go to the bathroom to brush your teeth.
I gotta pee when he want me to pee?
Yeah, to eat, all of that.
Now, Shirley.
Yes.
Now that I've said that about the fathers and the parents, I have to say, after watching this thing, I'm that parent that went to the hotel to get her daughter by herself.
Yes.
Which was like ticking me off. Where her uncle, her brother, her granddaddy?
Yeah, some men need to be in this.
She had a girlfriend with her, but you mean where was the men? Yeah. Where were the men?
And I think that's what I'm hurt about is that we as black men were not more involved in this. Every time I turn around, it was a mother looking for their baby. And then when I see the two fathers, we just want to see. We need a wellness check and all this. Okay, bro, I got it, you know. And I got you can't get to them, and I got they consensual, and I got they hiding out. I got it. But, dog, I just got to tell you, man, I ain't in jail.
Well, that's what my
interview.
For
breaking and entering.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in there next to Robert Brother with that 3XL on.
Yeah, that's where I'm
in there with a 2XL on, because that's what I wear 2X.
Yeah. My interview is from the jail.
I'm in there. Me and R. Kelly Brother just arguing.
Right.
But it goes back to what we were saying earlier about not caring about black girls
and brown girls being victims. Brown women,
It's just different for us. They just don't care. Society doesn't care. It's like you said
earlier. Now, I probably shouldn't say this.
And you said it earlier. If it were white girls.
White girls?
Boy.
You said that. We'd be all over it. Yeah.
Now, I don't know what's going to happen to R. Kelly, but let me say this. Bill Cosby's in jail.
Yes, he is.
I don't know how he can escape this. I know it's...
And Harvey Weinstein's trial is coming up, too, this year, later this year in March, I think.
And you better know something's going to happen to him. Mm-hmm. Because he opened up the gates, man, what this dude was doing. But he was doing some vile stuff, man.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's all vile. Yeah, it's all vile. Yeah. All right. I mean, it's exhausting to think about what went on. But we'll be back with more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, fellas and ladies. The NFL division playoff football games are set. You guys know this, right?
Yeah, we know.
Yeah, okay.
Come on, guys. What you got? Like that.
You know, Junior be knowing.
Way to show up, Tech. Junior. Yeah, way to show up.
Oh, you're mad at Houston?
Yeah, what the? Houston. Did you see the performance?
No, I can say that would be a no.
I seen the receipt I got for 4 tickets. I seen that. I got that receipt.
Round won 7 games. I'm cool to fame.
Steve.
Round won 7 games, boy. I don't know what y'all talking about. Y'all had playoffs hopes. I just had hope.
You just had hope.
We win a game or two.
And you did better than just winning the game. You won 7 games. You had
7.
We did 10-5 regular season.
I'll tell you what, though. Cowboys.
They in there.
They actually won.
I just have so much hate for the Cowboys. Man, I hate
you got to respect them, though, Jay. Dak Prescott, he playing some good ball. And Zeke playing some good ball. You got to give it to him.
I like the players on the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I don't like the team. I never liked that America team. But I've always liked Michael Irvin. I've always loved Emmitt Smith. I've always been boys with Dion. Them cats used to come to my comedy club in Dallas, man. Yeah. I've always, them cats, they some good dudes.
Yep.
I love them boys, man. Wilburn, man, they had some nice cats. I like Zeke Elliott. I like Prescott. Mm-hmm. I like Amari Cooper they done went and got. I like their defense. Yeah. I like the dude. I just don't like the damn team.
Well, there are like a lot of people on the team.
Yeah.
I don't like
I'm with you, Steve.
Cheerleaders got it.
And I don't like the fans either.
Yeah, I can't stand
it's
the fans.
It's the fans. That's what it is.
It's the fans. It's the fans. Cowboy fans.
They will rub it in on you, Pop.
They will call you when they win. And you can't find them when they lose, man.
Well, what about the Eagles? Not the Eagles won?
Yeah, we got to give it up for Philly. Give it up for Philly, baby.
That was a tough game,
That was
man.
A tough that was game. Tough. Philly and Chicago, because, you know, I got love for
that
both
Chicago
of them.
Game. Man. That game hurt that dude. That dude is hurt
that
to this day.
That
kicker
for the Bears.
No.
Ping, but you know what, man? But,
pop
but he
ting.
Had,
that's a pop ting.
But he had kicked the first one that went through.
It was nice.
They call it timeout on it. Man, they put that timeout on
it. That's that pressure, man.
That's pressure, dog.
That's pressure. 43-yard field goal. Let me tell you something, man. You have one job now. You is the kicker.
Still pressure,
well,
though.
He might not
it's still soccer. Pressure, though.
43 yards.
I know.
But see, but at the end of the game, though, see, it's not that play. It's so many other things that get you to that point. Like, if they'd have scored a touchdown, it wouldn't have been no problem. If they'd have got a first down, it wouldn't have been no problem. But you over there incompleting pass, dropping balls, getting tackled.
Yeah.
So now when you get tackled, you drop a ball, and you don't make the first down. Now the kicker just ain't dog doo-doo because he missed the one job he got. Well, you ain't do your job. Your ass didn't score.
Say what now? Say what now?
Point well made. Point well made. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that's what you would say if you was
that
a kicker.
Argument don't hold up in the locker room when you just missed that damn field.
Oh, no. But, Jay, when you miss that one, you don't even go to the locker room. Get in your car with your pads
you
on, man.
All sweaty and stuff?
Yeah.
You just out there in the field talking to people. Man,
He ain't sweating, Shirley. He ain't doing nothing but kicking.
He just, broke he no just sweat. In his car driving home.
He got his shoulder pads on.
With the helmet on.
With his helmet on. Yeah. Right.
I'm at the light with the helmet on.
He still got his helmet on.
Yeah. He got his helmet on.
So congratulations to Philly.
Yeah, man.
And
hands hard.
And congratulations
to
the Cowboys.
So now Philly
going to
play the Saints. On Sunday, Steve.
That's going to be a good one.
Oh, man.
That's going to be good.
I don't know, man. It's going to be a hard game because, you know, they rested Breeze the last game.
Yeah.
So he'll be healthy.
Right.
But it's something about that Nick Foles, man, in Philly, man. This dude, they know how to win.
They just win.
And they just started pulling it together at the end of the season because they didn't look like world champs earlier.
Nope. But he wasn't playing either. Like,
Carla and her husband don't want to hear that, Steve.
What?
Oh, girl, you know Tosh in my house is all about the Saints. I know. Walking there
Oh, that Who That Nation?
That Who That Nation.
Baby. Stop him.
He is like, nah, like, I don't care because I like both teams. So, Browns ain't in it.
The Browns did good, though. Seven games from, like, losing all them games they lost. That's crazy.
Dog, and we finna get another coach.
Mm-hmm. You excited?
Man, and we got the 17th pick.
I love it.
I love the part of the franchise.
Hey, can I talk some another piece of sports? You know, did you see LeBron James on TV when he said that he is the greatest player of all time? Because when he went back to Cleveland and he won that title with Cleveland, he figured after he won that game, that made him the greatest player of all time.
Really?
So I think that's the greatest basketball move in the history of the game, to leave a city, go somewhere, win two titles, then come back to that city and win a title for that city that ain't won in 50 years. I think that's the most gangster move in basketball.
And it worked. He did it. He pulled it off.
But does that make him the greatest player?
No, sir.
Thank you.
And I love LeBron James.
Yeah.
With everything in me, I think he's just.
Now, he mess around and do something in L.A. like that, then you might have to call him that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if he could do it in L.A., but
L.A. was better when he wasn't there because nobody knew they was losing.
You had that logic.
That was so ignorant.
I'm going to tell y'all something, man.
What? What, Steve?
And this is going to really throw you.
Come on.
But really, man, to me, the greatest basketball player of all time is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Because he revolutionized the game.
Okay.
He was unstoppable. No, nobody could do nothing with him.
I believe.
And then what made him a great center was when you fouled him, he went to the free throw line. He made them free throws.
Oh, yeah. Centers used to hit free throws.
No. That's the only reason Shaq ain't the greatest center of all time, because Shaq couldn't make a free throw. If he could have made free throws, Shaq would have been the greatest, most dominant force ever to play the game.
I still got to put Jordan up there with above Kareem. Yeah.
I can't argue. Yeah. You know?
I got to put Magic up there.
Ooh, Magic. Got to.
Hey, when we come back, me, you, and Kid gonna pick our top five basketball players.
Oh. All right. Oh, I can't pick no damn body.
You heard it. We'll be back with more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show and their top five right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, guys, before we went to break, you guys said that you were going to do your top five in the NBA, right? Your top
of all
five.
Time.
Of all time. That's hard.
Yeah, it is very hard. Yeah. And these are all
See, of
debates.
All time, man, it's too hard. You can't, nobody has the top five that can't be argued. Right. No one has a top five where they go, yeah, man, but because you can always put somebody on your list that ain't on somebody's list and you can't argue.
No.
All right, who want to go first?
You ain't ready to time.
Well, let's get the craziness out of the way. Let Jay go.
He's not even into sports like
I'm
that.
I'm so interested Jay, in his list.
Jay don't even know five basketball players. Why are we asking Jay?
Okay. I know one great one. Greatest of all time.
Who?
That don't get the respect that it should get.
Who?
That
who?
Nobody even going to mention.
Who?
Juwan a man. Nobody's gonna bring up.
All right.
That was a movie, you idiot.
You done. I'm sorry. I shouldn't answer that. I'll go first. Here we go. Top five. Uh-huh. Akeem Olajuwon.
Nice.
Magic.
Oh, yeah.
Jordan.
Of course.
Bird. LeBron.
You can't even argue with that list.
Okay.
What you got, Kim?
All right. I got Oscar Roberts.
Oh.
See, all my top five are people who changed the game.
But he was before you was even born. Yeah. You don't even know what he looked like.
Of Oscar.
Oh, man.
If he was in here, would you see him? Would you know him?
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Tommy probably wouldn't know.
I wouldn't.
Uh-huh. Magic Johnson.
Okay. Oh, yes, definitely.
LeBron James.
Uh-huh.
Kobe Bryant.
Uh-huh.
And Michael Jordan.
Can't argue with that.
All five of them changed the game.
Can't argue with that. Okay.
Okay. Doing positions.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah.
Who changed the game?
Okay.
He was so cold in college, they stopped dunking.
But Steve, you look like you're looking for an argument, though.
I'm just throwing it out there.
You're looking for a fight.
He's
looking for a fight.
The greatest point guard ever lived, Magic Johnson.
Yes, sir. Oh,
no, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't.
Who was it, Jay?
Because he wants to fight.
The greatest guard to ever live. Come on. And basketball player, arguably, Michael Jordan.
Thank you.
Wrong.
Damn.
One of the current greatest basketball player on the planet today, LeBron James.
Yes, sir. Right.
Man,
yes,
you
sir.
Stupid. You just stupid. You stupid. Well, you are.
What's
You're
the last one, dog?
And the last one is the Black Mamba.
Ooh, oh, Kobe. Kobe.
That's the dumbest damn thing I ever heard in my life.
It's the dumbest list ever.
Kobe, LeBron, Jordan, Magic, and Kareem.
Okay.
Because Lord have mercy.
Nobody put Dr. J on there?
Dr. J could have easily have been on here.
And I wanted to put Shaq on here.
And Oscar Robertson, I wanted him on my list. Let me tell you somebody else who could make the list. I'm going to tell you, if you could have anybody's game in the league right now, whose
right
game
now,
would you have?
I want Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Wade, who would you want?
James Harden.
I want that.
Right now?
Okay, hold up yours. Hold up, guys. We gotta go. We'll be racked.
And I'll tell you whose game I have.
Cliffhanger, baby. We'll be back with more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show right after this at 33 after the hour.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, guys. What was the question, Steve? If you could be anyone, have their game right now in the NBA, who would it be?
And
yeah.
Whose game
would it be? Dwayne Wade in his prime. I want a game like that.
You want Dwayne Wade?
I play like that.
I want James. I think James Harden.
Tommy said James Harden. Jason, James who? Harden. Who?
Me?
Who? Yeah.
Come on, man. Get it over with.
Yosemite Sam in Space
right.
Jam.
Okay, good. Okay, good. Okay, so who did you say?
Dwayne Wade. I want Dwayne Wade in his prime. And when he's prime, yeah. When he won the championship.
And Tommy,
the
you said
Harden. Harden
if I
right
could have
now.
Anybody's game right now, Russell Westbrook.
Ooh, that's really? A good, he's a gazelle.
No, LeBron. Because, no,
he's a gazelle.
No, I want Russell's game. Okay. His motor.
He the fastest thing I
know. No,
know.
His motor, his drive to play the game. He get more triple-doubles than anybody. He's scoring, he rebounding, and he dishing. You can't deny these triple-doubles. A triple-double is hard to get.
It is.
This dude what got 40 of them last year.
Red is a beast.
No, man, but the game, I would want Russell Westbrook's game.
Right.
He's just so involved, man. His attitude. I just love his game, man. That's if I could play like anybody, that's who I would play like. Yeah, man.
He's not even talking.
Now who
you
I have?
Why are you?
I ain't got no time for that, man.
He said, Kevin.
He cracks on people like he
need
just
a brush.
Cute.
He called him need a brush.
And he over there. He cute. No.
I mean, look, he know when to say it though. He said on
okay. Okay, you said today. What about back in the day?
Back in the day. I had him on. I had him on my.
Can I tell you? You ain't gonna believe who mine is.
Come on, Junior. Yeah. You go first.
Back in the day, old school player.
Uh huh.
Man, you know who I really love, man.
Boy, who I wanted? Ooh,
man. I'm be honest with you, Vernon Maxwell.
That boy could ball.
Growing up, I'm from Texas.
Go ahead, Tommy. Who would you be?
The glove.
Oh, really?
Gary Payton.
I love
Gary Payton.
Okay.
I like his game.
Okay.
Defense.
Come on, crazy man.
Come on, man. Look at that look in his eye. Come
you
on.
Know who I wanted to be?
Who was that?
Wait.
Connie Hawkins.
Who?
Connie Hawkins.
Who the hell is Connie?
The flying Frangle roll. That's Connie Hawkins, man.
Who in the hell is Connie?
Everything was a Frangle roll. Connie Hawkins.
What team?
76ers.
Connie Hawkins.
The Knicks.
Dog, Connie Hawkins, man.
Nobody said Bill Russell, right?
I wasn't going to say something
Boston?
Stupid this time. I really
no, I
wasn't.
Wanted, I don't want Chi
oh,
and
Jay
like
wants
he
to
had.
Participate. See, he's going to be serious.
Here you go.
You're looking at his Chi and hair, dog.
It's too much.
Please let me say what I have
okay,
to say.
Okay, come on, Jay. You know, come on, just say it.
One of the baddest basketball players ever. Curly. From the Harlem Globe. He was amazing.
See this fool here.
That's what game is.
Tell you
I'm not mad at
they him. They never stole the ball.
Steve, he was good. Curly was good.
Yeah,
good.
But I had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on my sneakers.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I had Jabbar on my sneakers, man. I had him on my sneakers. And I wanted to be Elgin Baylor.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, Lord.
Earl the Pearl.
Penny Hardaway.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. Earl the Pearl Monroe. You know how hard I practiced that move?
All right. We got to come back. I don't know if we're over with this or not, but we'll be back
tomorrow.
With more and closing remarks, all of that when we come back at 49 after the hour, right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, here we are. Our last break of the day, but our first closing remark of the year from you.
Yeah. You know, thinking about it, and as always, as we set out on these new years, people have a tendency to make resolutions. I don't make resolutions for the new year because as soon as I think of what I want to do to improve myself, I don't wait to start improving at the beginning of the year. I start on Christmas Eve, Thanksgiving. I start August 22nd. It don't matter. When the moment I think. So I used to do resolutions, but I don't do them anymore because life is too short to wait till the start of the year to begin. But how about if we look at it this way? Since God has afforded you this incredible opportunity called life, and we are all here, and even against all the odds, we somehow made it to 2019, I want to say this to you. You have a say-so in how your year go. You have a say-so in how your year go. You do not have to sit here and just play it by ear. You have choices. You have decisions. You have the right to view it positively or negatively. You have the right to view your glass as half full or half empty. You have the right to accept righteousness or evil. You have the choice. That's the beauty about being a human. God, when he created us as creatures, as he created us as creatures, he gave us as the human creature the only one that has the power of choice in all areas of life. We can choose when we mate, where we live, how we live, who we mate with, where we stay, what we wear, how we dress, the climate we live in. Look, polar bears have to live in polar regions. Penguins have to live, fish have to live in the ocean. It's the way it is. Bears got to be in woods. That's how they... We can go live on the desert. We can live on a mountaintop. We get choices. 2019 is your year to make better choices. If you weren't happy with the way 2018 went for you, you have a decision to make. You can change your thought process. And by changing your thought process, you can change the outcome. Now listen to this. You can't do anything about everything that happens to you. There's nothing you can do about what's going to happen to you. You can't stop nobody from hurting your feelings. You can't stop your plant from closing. You can't stop them from foreclosing on a loan. You can't stop da-da-da-da-da-da. But you can do something about every single thing that happens to you. You can have the attitude so when it happens to you, it does not destroy you. You've got to stop letting mishaps that come along in your life wipe you out and cause you to pause so long that you're no longer in perpetual forward motion and you wind up stuck on stupid. You have a choice to accept everything as a child of God and say, you know what? He probably got something better for me. For example, they're going to close a door on me in 2019. You think I'm tripping about that? They already told me they probably going to close this door on me in 2019. All that means for me is God has another door for me to open, for me to walk through. He going to open another door. These people that make these decisions at these networks and stuff, they don't control my life. They control that little piece of section over there. I got the rest of it. I'm God in charge of me. So every door that closes for you in 2019, if you understand that that allows for an opportunity for another door to open, maybe I need some more rest. Maybe I've been working too hard. Maybe this is his way of saying, hey, partner, you're going to slow down. I'm going to help you slow down. I ain't finna fall. I ain't going to have to sell nothing. I ain't going to lose nothing. But I've learned to accept God's will and understand that everything that happens to me for my good and my betterment, because the God I serve didn't bring me this far to leave me. You tell me, why would God lift you to the height that he got you to just to see you fall? That's not the God we serve. That's not God. Don't let nobody deceive you. That ain't God. When something happens in your life, it's an opportunity, man. That's all 2019 is. It's going to be a series of opportunities. When they tell you no, it's going to create another opportunity. If they tell you you're canceled, it's going to create another opportunity. If they tell you, well, we don't think so, it's because they don't know. You think I care about somebody telling me how they feel about me or a show I got? You think they made me? Them people didn't make me, man. They just give me the opportunity to go do something else. They got YouTube. They got Facebook. They got everything now. I ain't got to sit around and be wondering, tripping about what you're going to do with me. I know how to forge and pray and earn and work for other opportunities. This ain't the only country. I'm global. The God I serve is international. See, that's what I know. Don't let 2019 get by you without understanding that you have a say-so in just how it goes. So come on, man. Get your attitude right. Keep talking to God. Pray Ask for guidance and assistance and see if God don't show you the way. That's how you get through 2019. That's how we got through 18.
Woo,
you thought you wasn't
it.
Gonna make it, but here you
come
is.
Come on, boy.
Drop it.
You better. I got to go. Y'all have a nice weekend.
All Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit SteveHarveyFM.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.